from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
It was a good day for Caleb Williams. Bottom line, full stop.
Phenomenal day for
full
him.
Stop. It was a good day.
He looked in command. There weren't any real problems as far as like getting plays off. He looked comfortable under center when they put him under center. He made wow throws.
I wouldn't say that I was trying to show, and I wouldn't say that it's natural. I would say that it's come from the hard work here and us being here working together, building this thing.
I think that there's stuff to still teach him. That if you're Matt Eberflus, you can still walk into the meeting and go, hey, don't run after you throw the ball like you're a blocker, because that's a way to get your ass popped.
We really wanted to take this opportunity to get, you know, in the process and have a really good plan in place for the reps we wanted to get. I thought overall in the pocket, you know, protected the football, had a consistent performance, and now we got to learn from this and get better.
He did some really cool stuff. As a first step, it's a wonderful first step for Caleb Williams.
Thanks, everybody. The Bears.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, do we have one for you today? Sometimes Ray puts some calls out there, and sometimes everybody says yes. And you pile them all into the boat, and you put them in the live well, and you sort them out, and then you weigh them. And
we're going to need a bigger boat.
We are indeed, as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, Bernstein and Holmes. And we will bring you Chris Emma at 10:25. We're going to go through the Hard Knocks bingo card thereafter. Ian Happ will join us. He celebrated his 30th birthday yesterday with a home run, but the old head will be with us. And then High Noon, 11:45, Dane Brugler at noon. Then Steve Stone, 12:25, Micah Baskerville, 12:45. Rome Odunze will join the show.
What'd you say?
At 1.
Rome Odunze at 1 o'clock?
Rome Odunze at 1 o'clock. We'll see how this is all going for the young man.
Damn.
Yeah.
Good job, Ray. See? Ray.
Well done there. There have been...
That's how you teach a young Tyler how to do this thing.
Yeah. There were a series of executions that have been handed out.
Yep. You handed them out left and right.
Yep. Come get some.
Well, because he was mad about what happened in the Cubs game.
Yes. True.
don't. When you see Emmanuel Clase, that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's a bad man right there is what that is. Comes in and he's got an earned run average of
nothing.
0.66. And he walks nobody and strikes everyone out.
He strikes you out. He makes you look bad.
Makes you cry.
Here's this pitch. Here's 102.
Ruins your life and he eats all your steak.
Yep. And drinks your milkshake.
Well, no, he doesn't eat all your steak. Josh Naylor does.
You better leave Josh Naylor alone.
Hey, I
Sox killer Josh Naylor.
He's a nachos killer is what he is.
Why don't you leave him alone?
I'm just saying that he's...
Have you not looked at Josh Naylor? He's always had a Ruben-esque
not like
feel
that.
To him.
Not like that. Leon is getting large.
I don't think that you've been looking at Josh Naylor enough.
Trust me.
I think Josh Naylor has always looked the way that he looked last.
If you always look at somebody, it's not quite as obvious. But it's been a minute since I feasted my eyes on that's some old school serious baseball fat man there, and I love it. I don't get me wrong, I love it. That's a 1970s baseball player right there.
That's
a men's leaguer there.
That little Oppo one hopper over Paredes yesterday.
Right, but it hit like 4 feet in front of the plate. But if Paredes can pick up the damn ball, you might be in a little different game.
Yeah, that game could have played out differently without the error. But there is good news from it. One, Dansby Swanson has really been hitting the ball. He's on a 7-game hit streak right now, and he's coming through. I'm starting to wonder, too, and I don't know if I'm ready to retract my feelings on it, but I am starting to wonder if Pete Crow Armstrong is starting to get it. At the plate.
Really interesting note by Ron Coomer on the radio broadcast last night talking about the way PCA is holding the bat. And he says that by moving off the knob a little bit, and he noticed the tape job on the bat is different too. And by changing his hand position, I don't know if they've done any grip work specifically, you know, the old line up the knuckles thing or not, is he's quicker through the zone. We also have read that he is trying to avoid dropping down to try to scoop balls out and waiting for things to come to him in the hitting zone to keep his bat in a dangerous position longer and just make better decisions. Part of that is his eye, and part of it, I guess, is barrel control.
Over the last 15 games, PCA 321, 333, 547. So that's a good look for him. But that losing that game just stinks. It stinks because you had the lead. You had control of it. They make a great play defensively. The Guardians gave away all sorts of outs on the bases yesterday. Cubs defense was excellent, including our guy Ian Happ with another outfield assist. I think that's 10 for him so far this season. And they were just willy-nilly running around the bases. And the Cubs were like, what are you guys doing? And then they kept hitting the ball over the fence. That Noel guy just kept hitting the ball over the fence.
I would have liked it if Dansby Swanson was able to make the play on that hard ground ball when he tried to do his signature slide move, and it didn't look like he needed to.
That's one of the things you worry about when you have that in your arsenal.
Do you agree? That when I watched it again, it seemed like an unnecessary and late decision to be like, oh, I'm going to do my thing.
Well, the thing is that I think that it allows him to generate enough power to make the throw. And maybe if you let the ball carry you, maybe you can't get into a position for a powerful throw. Like if you just kind of pantomime it and walk it through, like think about like then you're counting steps. As you're going.
Well, you kind of are. You should. I mean, not literally, but you're doing it without thinking about it. You're measuring your distance.
Instead of popping up and then you're back to where you need to be when you pop up with your force going back towards first base instead of it going towards third.
I mean, he knows better than I do, but it just looked to me like it was in between. Just like the Paredes play.
Paredes got caught.
Where either go and pop it on the short hop or make the safe play and get one out for sure.
Dansby Swanson over the last 30 games. You ready for this? 308, 359, 402. That's
what I'm talking about.
That's what you need.
That's what you paid for. That's what that contract would suggest. If you start looking at whatever it is it $10 million for a win of war now?
Yep.
Okay.
Just you hope it's not too late. And last night you start looking at, even though there were games earlier in the season that the Cubs gave away that you have in your back pocket, these are the types of games that you look and you go, oh, damn, like this is going to cost them. This is the type of game that costs them. And, you know, Shota ends up giving up a bunch of runs. And I think four of them were unearned because of the Paredes stuff. Like, you got to be more buttoned up if you're trying to win games against good teams.
Swanson is well off his pace of last year's 4.7 WAR season.
What is he at, like 2.5?
He's at 2.4,
okay,
which is a big move up. So for him to add, I mean, even if he's able to add another full win, you're still talking about a decent season, but one that's probably not quite worth what they're paying, the premium that they're paying.
Yeah, if he stays on this pace offensively, then you feel a lot better about it. But then you start talking about when did you do it versus what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Hawk.
Don't tell me what you did, tell me when you did it. How about both, Hawk? Nope. My suggestion, Hawk, would be you consider both things.
Yeah.
It's not one or the other. That's what I always thought. That's why it always bothered me.
But yeah, man, like you're watching that game and you go, I like with PCA, and the numbers back it up, but I feel like I'm watching a more confident hitter. Now, that might just mean that he's a guy that'll be, you know, 250, 320.
250 is 16 points over average.
250, 320, you know, 390.
Yeah, 250 is good now.
Mm.
Oh, it is. 234 is the league average.
Not if I'm adding it to on base is 320.
Yeah, but if as a part of that on base, yeah, that would still mean that you're walking a relatively significant part. I mean, 350 obviously is where you want to be.
If you're him.
With that second number.
If you're him, you want him to be, you know, 350, 360, because then
the added bases and, yeah.
He still hasn't been thrown out, right?
Correct.
Isn't he 23 of 23 or correct, something ridiculous like that?
Yep.
That's a pretty big weapon to have to get on base. Now, get on base.
Right. You can't steal first. Yeah.
Because right now,
you can't walk off the island or something.
Because right
one
now,
of those things.
He's 253 on base percentage.
Yeah, that's not good enough. Not good.
But he's in 212 now.
And he's trying. He is improving. And they're working with him. And he's apparently receptive to some of these things. Because he's for him to not be hard-headed about it. Now, I know you've got other issues with him.
Too much dip on his chin.
Yeah, I know. Make just.
I feel like I'm not the only one, though.
Secure the catch.
I feel like I'm not the only one. I think that we've had 3 or 4 conversations now with Ian where Ian very diplomatically has been telling you that there's too much dip on his chin.
Yeah, did you hear his like sardonic chuckle when I mentioned getting the PCA dog collar,
yes,
with or cat collar with the bell on it? Ding, 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 just so you know he's coming.
I mean, you'll hear it because he's running fast.
Oh, I know. I don't want the bell to weigh him down, but I want something out of him. Or we do the electric fence for him.
No, I don't want a shock collar Pete Crow Armstrong. Just, that seems cruel.
We just set up. It's not enough to hurt him. It's just enough to get his attention. Ah, whoa.
Buzz him.
Yeah.
It's like Apple Watch, a little buzz going on.
See, that would make me crazy.
Really?
Your Apple Watch like vibrates?
Yeah, so like if I wanted to set an alarm, I can put it on the watch.
I know, that would.
And then
it doesn't freak you out?
No, not really.
When your wrist is going,
I mean, it doesn't do it for long. It's just like a zzz.
Yeah, like I texted you guys just now, and I know Lauren saw it on his watch.
And it would zzz.
That's it.
Did I put it on my pants?
Sure you could if you wanted to.
Okay.
That would be fine.
Because I'm thinking about that now. Thinking about livening up my life.
Why not?
Just sending myself alerts all day.
You're at a point in your life where you can do that.
You set a lot of alarms for yourself.
I sure do. Every 10 minutes.
Hey!
Every 10 minutes.
Yep. Why do you have that vacant grin, sir?
Hold on a second. Ah, there it is again.
Oh, thank you. When we come back, we are going to talk Bears. Chris Emma is stalking the sideline.
Damn right he is.
But he doesn't get chased by lawnmowers. It's only Grody that gets chased by lawnmowers. I don't know. Maybe Emma gets chased by sandhill cranes up
no
there.
No one chases Emma. We got our Emma Bears here in the studio, too, if you're on Twitch.
I can't see which is which. The Grody's in front
of me? That's Grody because his shirt says Bears.
And it's blue. Okay.
And then Emma has the shirt that says Middays on the Score.
Why were they here? Who put them
there? I put them in here.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought Grody was sticking around for transition, so I figured Grody with the Grody Bear. But then he left because he's got stuff to do because he's got like 18 million jobs. So, Bears.
Next.
In the studio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patients is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Yeah, it felt good. There's always, you know, there's always a little bit, you know, of a more focus that you have going to games for whatever reason. Even if you try and enter that mindset and things like that throughout the weeks, it's just a sense of control, I guess, a sense of progress, a sense of, you know, a bunch of different things that when you get into games, you know, the comfort level and all of that normally skyrockets.
That is a confident and focused Caleb Williams, who is out on the practice field now, and we are told that they're not in full pads in front of the crowd. They are in shells, which means a little bit of lighter contact for them only. Chris Emma is now going to tell us everything he sees and what we should expect. He is on Twitter at CEmma670, the Score Bears reporter on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Hello, Chris. What's happening?
What's up? How we doing?
Things are really good, Emma. Why don't we start back with Saturday? What did you think was impressive from what you saw offensively?
My goodness. I mean, look, the baseline for Caleb Williams in this game was get through clean operation, avoid penalties, avoid mistakes, leave this offense the right way. And anything else more than that was fantastic. You got more than that. You got to see the arm talent. You got to see the processing abilities. Everything you wanted to see on display from Caleb Williams in just a couple series, it was there. Clean operation. No pre-snap issues. And he got the ball out quick. You could see the processing element that we've been talking about. It's different when you go against another defense in a different scheme and you're not sure what you're up against. He looked poised, prepared, and ready, and you could just see everything was right there on display for you.
So when they have the Bengals coming here, we know to the extent to which they prized their time practicing against the Colts last year. What are you expecting, and is that why they're in shells instead of pads today?
Yeah, they've been doing these kind of three-day ramp-ups. Today is day one of that, which means shells, lighter work, shorter practice, more detail-oriented. They will build up, I think, full pads tomorrow, kind of almost a dress rehearsal, really, for the Bengals. And then Thursday is going to be some really good action. It'll be a longer practice. They'll go joint field, so offense versus defense on one side, vice versa on the other end. And they go fast pace. You kind of want to, if you can, just be right in the middle of those two practice fields and just watch and hope they're kind of alternating play after play. That's what it was for me last year down in Indy. And you just get to take in so much. And it's really tremendous action. If you can keep practice in control, which we've seen a lot of fights and issues with some of these other practices, but you get really good spirited work. It changes up the atmosphere and monotony of training camp. And I think coaches really tend to prefer these. We've seen more and more of these kinds of joint practices playing out, and it's really a substitute to the preseason. And with that in mind, I don't think you're going to see Caleb Williams or the starters on Saturday. And if you come out of Thursday feeling good about what you accomplished, then rightfully so.
Yeah, Zach Taylor said he wasn't going to play his starters, correct?
Yeah, no Bengals for Saturday. I would imagine, well, we'll hear from Matt Eberflus tomorrow, but I imagine the Bears will follow suit as well.
Huh, okay. I've got some thoughts on that, but Dan and I will have a segment on it a little bit later on. When it comes to the offensive line, what did you – because we talked a little bit with Groats about this last week with all of the Nate Davis stuff. Where do you think the Bears' offensive line is right now in relationship to who plays right guard?
Well, I should start by saying Nate Davis is on the field today. I'm looking out there right now. He's going through individual drills. I would imagine he's ramping up a little bit. He's probably still a week away from full go, but that's a good sign. I was not expecting to see him out there today. Ryan Bates, on the other hand, working off to the side with the training staff. He will not be practicing today. So you're kind of just building off what you got with those two right now, and it's not an ideal situation. You were hoping Bates would be your backup if Davis is hurt, and now you're kind of wondering if and when either of those guys are going to get back out there soon, but they're working around it. You know, Matt Pryor's been your guy at right guard. I think it comes down to the idea of, do you trust Nate Davis to stay healthy? Do you trust him to be out there? He doesn't earn the benefit of the doubt at this point. They really like Ryan Bates. We know plenty about that. Ryan Poles has coveted him over the last couple of years. If Bates is out there and healthy right now, which he's not, I think he's your lead to get that right guard spot with Coleman Shelton at center. But the injury setback to Bates has thrown that contingency plan off too. So they're trying to figure it out right now, and I think they're still got a bit of ways to go to really get that thing settled.
Do you think Davis practicing is in any way possibly a response to the gauntlet being thrown down by the head coach?
I mean, you'd hope so in some form, right? I mean, the message has been sent multiple times. There's been clear frustration. Heck, when they go out and they trade a mid-round pick to get Ryan Bates, that should be the wake-up call. Like, there's been tons of messages sent by this team. Look, if it's not resonated by now, it's never going to really hit, and you're just kind of in the way of this thing. They believe in this guy still, but I think they're getting really frustrated and ready to move on at this point. So I'm not talking about contractually, because this deal is basically paid for. He's on your roster already. You're not doing much by getting rid of him, but maybe he's your backup at this point if Ryan Bates is able to get out there and be healthy.
Speaking of trades, mm-hmm. how would you assess the likelihood that Hassan Reddick gets traded and gets traded to the Bears?
I just don't see it. When you get traded to one team and then months later you're trying to get traded from that new team, it doesn't bode well. That doesn't sound like something Ryan Poles wants to do. Look, day one of camp, he came out unsolicited and said, I know you're going to ask about it, so I'm just going to say it. We like our pass rushers. We're good with this group. I take him at his word because I'd heard months back that they were looking at Yannick Ngakoue, that they wanted to have a reunion there. That has since fallen through for a number of different reasons, but in large part because they really like this group. I think they really believe in Austin Booker. Dominic Robinson's a guy who struggled the last couple of years, but he still is a developmental piece when you consider he's only been a pass rusher for a couple of years. Like, they still see him as a guy building up for the future. They like DeMarcus Walker as well. Jacob Martin's a death piece they brought in. So they like their group there at this point. I don't see Redick. I just don't see that one happening.
Did the Bears make a conscious decision to change the depth chart to include a nickelback instead of a strong side linebacker? We talked to Adam Amin about this yesterday, and after he brought it up, I was wondering, how is this a league-wide thing, or is it a team-by-team thing where they've got Kyler Gordon as starting nickel, and the only linebackers that are listed are TJ Edwards at weak and Tremaine Edmonds at middle?
That's a good question. I don't really have a great answer for you on that. That's not really been on my radar, but I mean, look, as you know, these depth charts are very unofficial. It's done by like the PR staff, not through the coaching staff. They like Kyler Gordon a lot. They see him as a guy who could emerge as one of the top nickel corners in the league. So it's certainly more credibility for him, but I've not really thought about that one too much, to be honest.
Yeah, I would just be interested because Jack Sanborn, who we know in what would used to be like a classic rundown situation, Sanborn would be on the field at strong side. But if now the league, it feels
like an acknowledgement that these offenses are in 11 personnel than...
It's a marking point for evolution of NFL football, at least where it is now on the pendulum, that we're going to go lighter and quicker. And it may be that the idea of a strong side backer is antiquated.
No doubt. And to your point, I mean, Kyler Gordon was the first draft pick ever made by Ryan Poles. And like, they picked him specifically to run that nickel position. Like, they value that. Ryan Poles certainly values that. It's not like, oh, we're just going to put you here and see how you handle it. Like, they specifically selected Gordon to be that nickel guy. So, yeah, the Bears are up on that as well. I'm with you. Like, this is the trend in the NFL now, and nickel position gets a lot more run than that third strong side linebacker does. Sanborn's a really good depth piece to have at that position, but at the same point, despite a strong rookie season from a couple years ago, go out and get Edwards and Edmonds. So, it tells you what you need to know. They really like their defense when they are in that nickel package.
How would you assess if it was a really good performance by Caleb, but what do you think they think will say, hey, let's improve on blank?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's more continuing to build on some of the operational details because it was great to see clean operation for two series in a preseason game, but there's been a lot of really sloppy days here at practice, guys. Like, we've talked about it plenty, and it is in part on the quarterback. We've not heard the offensive line or anybody kind of rat out their quarterback. They understand it's a growth process. I think more so it's not so much what you saw on Saturday as much as the operation here in practice every day and continue to build on that. Like, it's funny to say this, but like, I think it was really good for Caleb Williams and the offense to go against a different defense because this defense seems to know what play they're running. They seem to have the snap counts down. They've been blowing up so many of these practice scripts every day and just having fun with it, taunting the offense, taunting Caleb Williams. We hear DeMarcus Walker constantly chirping in practice. It makes you better, but at the same point, like, they're not really doing what they want to do offensively, but the clean operation. So continue to stack good days here in practice. Take what you did from the preseason game and build on that now behind the scenes at Hallis Hall.
You've been talking a lot about Austin Booker, and then he showed out. What do you think he proved to the coaching staff, and do you think that means that he's putting himself in a position to not just be a specialist, but maybe be more rotational?
He had 2.5 half sacks in that game. My favorite one he had was the half sack when he got home in the fourth quarter. And I know it's, you know, you're going against the Bills' third string offense, whatever. He came off the edge with a little move inside and then spun off in the A gap and got home off the edge from there. Like, he had three different pass rushing moves to get home to the quarterback. That shows a guy who is developing his skill set and who's confident. He knows what tools he needs to pull out of the bag to make this happen. He's a really intriguing young guy who's really willing to learn. Like, people in this building have raved about his character and raved about his personality. Everybody who's encountered him has just talked about how eager he is. And that's great because he's got the talent. He's got the skill set. But you got to want to put it all together as a young, raw prospect. You're seeing a guy who's doing that. You saw evidence of that on Saturday. We mentioned the pass rushing deal. Like, I think they are more than comfortable having Austin Booker be that guy running opposite Montez Sweat, even if he is a rookie in this league, even if he is a guy who still is kind of figuring it out. They love the skill set. They love the makeup of this kid, and they really believe in him.
When you start talking about how they've put a roster together regarding makeup, it's amazing. Everybody on this team seems to be nice. It's almost bizarre. This is an NFL team. This is made up of some of the roughest, toughest, biggest, strongest, fastest human beings on the face of the earth. And for years, it's been presumed that there is a certain level of roughness around the edges in their lives. Not this Bears team, man. This has really mattered to them.
Yeah, look, you always hear about character in the NFL or any sport, right? You want to have character, character, character. It's often a lot of talk. You understand when you hear it. It's genuine with this team, and I think there's a real benefit to that. When you're 0-4 and you got a chance where your entire team can quit on your coaching staff and the season can really spiral on you, that's where you need character. That's where you need guys who are committed to this thing and really want to be better. And that's how you salvage a season the way they did last year. I know 7-10 is nothing to throw a parade for, but like, think about the alternative of where that year could have gone. It speaks a lot to the group that they have in that locker room. And Ryan Poles in his front office really put an emphasis on that. They believe there's an actual football benefit beyond just saying we've got a really good group of character and really good group in this locker room. There's a football benefit. You can have a better football team because you've got guys who have great character and are really committed to building this thing.
The Bears have more data on this than anyone because they've played two games other than Houston. How have they reacted to the kickoff rules, and what have they said they've learned from it?
Yeah, I'm curious to hear back from Richard Hightower. We're going to get him later this week, I believe, to kind of get some follow-up on this. The term I keep hearing as they look over this play is a run play, and it makes more sense when you look at the layout and the design of this. It makes me kind of think, like, Dan, you made the point last week, and I think you're right, like, and the Valus Jones experiment, while I don't think it's really working, like, there is running back benefit to that. Tyler Scott's a guy who has running back background in his football life as well. Like, running back skill sets matter in this. And I think that's something they're really going to value as they look for the man who's going to be their lead returner in this. They do see it as a run play. I got to talk with John Hussey last week, the head referee. He described it the same way, saying, like, that's going to be the way that teams look to exploit this. I think it's still a work in progress. They're really kind of figuring it out. And, you know, these are decisions that matter for the bottom of the roster. But I think they're really kind of settling in on what they want out of that role.
All right, Emma, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Take care.
That's Chris Emma, who reports on your Chicago Bears for us, 670 The Score. When we come back, let's reassess where our bingo card stands at the moment.
Hard Knocks tonight, episode 2.
8 o'clock.
Even harder.
Harder knocks. Even knockier. Harder and knockier. So we'll figure out if we're going to make any changes, keep it as it is, issue a second card. We'll debate that next on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
After the season was over and he finally had some time off, he just didn't shave for a couple days because he wasn't going into the office. And he started growing the beard, and I'm like, yeah, I really like that. And then I got this bright idea that I got to do something with your hair.
Inspiration was from Kelly, so she sent me, what she sent us, three pictures?
Yeah, it was like Ryan Reynolds and like,
I
forget. It was like, a couple of different people.
I can't believe that was like in late January, early February, and people are still talking about it.
My wife, she liked it, and that's the most important critic for me. If she likes it, then I want to keep it.
He thinks he looks cool now. I think he looks cool too.
Good. It looks really good. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
That's from episode one of Hard Knocks on HBO and Max, and I hope I don't have to tell you what the music was underneath there, right? Please, 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 please be raising your hand and saying, yes, that's Rossini's The Barber of Seville, The Marriage of Figaro.
Yeah.
As they show,
most people would probably say Figaro.
As they show The Barber.
Yeah.
Is it Lawrence Funk?
Sure.
I believe is the name of the barber.
Yes. Yeah.
He is the team barber. The number of people who were amazed or impressed with the idea of a barbershop on premises at the practice facility. And maybe it's just something I knew about that most NFL practice facilities have.
Yeah, like it's important.
Like, wow, this is a big deal. Like, who knew?
These guys live there.
Yes.
So occasionally you don't have time to go like to your guy.
And
Funk is like one of the best barbers in Chicago.
And
so,
in some markets, like Green Bay, there's nobody there who knows how to
cut black hair.
Right. So they have to bring someone up from Milwaukee, I believe.
I think Funk's place is still, I think he still has his shop on Dearborn, like Dearborn off of Ida B. Wells.
Yeah, I think you're right about that because I've looked it up when who came out with the story. About
Weeder?
No, it wasn't Weeder. It wasn't Weeder.
Schrock?
Caitlin Kaler.
Mm-hmm. Schrock and all.
Yeah, so I looked it up.
Yeah, because I walk past there when I'm teaching. My office is not too far from there. So,
all right, so let's go through on the card what we've checked off already. So I mentioned we're a Super Bowl shuffle away from bingo, because if we get that, we have in the middle row Super Bowl shuffle, then any player signing a contract, check. Free space, check. L Train's in the opening montage, check. Kelly Eberflus cameo, check.
Co-star.
Yeah, it wasn't really a cameo.
Jeez.
It's like Real Housewives of Lake Forest at that point. So we've got that. What else did we have?
Did we count Staley? Because he wasn't really interacting with...
No, we decided not to do that.
Right?
Not to count Staley, because it wasn't a true interaction. It was him. That was my question. I texted you guys as the episode was ongoing, and I asked, like, hey, guys, he's doing the let-me-hear-you, like, sign to the stands.
And there was a guy that looked like Bear
it
Man,
wasn't
but
Bear
it
Man.
Was not Bear Man.
It wasn't, yeah, it wasn't another, Don Wachter, the Hall of Famer.
That's right. It's another bear dude.
We got Eberflus giving out nicknames.
Yes.
And while we got Colin Johnson...
Didn't we kind of get Topgolf, too?
No,
I can't remember.
No. Pizza?
We got deep dish pizza.
Was in the very beginning.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah.
We got the deep dish pizza, absolutely.
How did we not have Blues Brothers on there?
Yeah, that's on us.
That's such a whiff.
But, I mean, it's also like an old reference.
So is Ray Clay. I couldn't believe they trotted out Ray Clay.
No, but at least that matches up with what they were doing with Caleb Williams. Like, that's fine. But, think about it. Blues Brothers is a lot older than Ray Clay.
I bet you Caleb Williams had no idea who Ray Clay was.
Nor should he.
Right. That's my point.
But he's probably like, oh, okay, that sounds cool.
I'm sure. If they even told him. He didn't have to know about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? I mean, they just produced that in there.
We got the Flus given a nickname.
Yeah, we mentioned that. We don't have McCaskey interacting with fans or on a scooter yet. The Aaron Rodgers, I own you. Score audio, no.
I own you! I freaking own you!
We will get the history of Virginia McCaskey, because I had suggested the famous picture of the toddler Virginia McCaskey with her father. But we'll see. My larger point is I say we leave it. I say we let it ride at least for one more episode.
All right, let it ride for one more week, and then if we get bingo tonight, then we put a new card together for episode three. That's fair.
I mean, I just leave Kevin Warren's morning routine on there.
I feel like we're going to see Vince Vaughn, too.
So I just want to clear something up as well. I'm looking through the comments from our tweet at Burnsy Holmes from the night of Hard Knocks last week. Somebody has on their card the Bears defensive tradition. Did they really go in depth on the Bears defensive tradition? I did not think so.
I think they did.
No. You got to see
opening sequence.
No, you got to see Butkus and Bill George.
That's what I mean.
You
like, how deep does
them.
It have to go?
No, it has to be.
It has to be beyond 85.
Yeah, and it's got that. That's not a montage thing. That's got to be the Liev Schreiber intoning. The same defense that produced such greats as Doug Atkins and Dick Butkus and Ed Sprinkle, and like you gotta have all that, and which is separate from 85.
So I personally checked off Walter Payton reference with the statue. Is that deep enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. So I think we're in business then with the original card. There's still a lot of spaces to be filled.
I feel like we get the aerial shot of Arlington tonight.
Oh my goodness, it has to be, right?
Well, I know that there's going to be plenty of drone shots of Hallis Hall. So, not that big a deal for them to go out and fly that thing around. You know, you go park off of 53 and send it up in the air, get what you need.
Well, Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles are serving lemonade this morning.
What?
Yeah. And I think coffee, because they had a lot of like things you could put in the coffee. Like, they're running a little coffee shop up there.
For the media?
No, for like fans.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was kind of nice.
That's cute.
I imagine it'll find its way onto Hard Knocks at some point before the series is over. And Texter, she caught the Katie? Yeah. It's a Blues Brothers reference. What we're saying is that we didn't put Blues Brothers on the bingo cart.
Yeah, I thought that would just be too kind of...
On the nose?
Too old and too lame.
That's where your son's going. Too lame.
Too lame. Oh, I'll definitely use that for him. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Of course you will.
This is the last OWC recorded today before he leaves. And then next episode, he will be from NOLA. Oh, by the way, get your questions in for our mailbag today. At Dan_Bernstein.
You got something juicy to bury in there? In the mailbag? Isn't that the thing?
You never know. You always got to follow the mailbags.
Well, if you've been looking at the headline, guess who is getting close to scrimmaging? Lonzo.
We talked about that in the last episode and whatever.
That's right. Again,
medical miracle if that happens. If that guy plays another minute in the NBA that isn't an honorary ceremonial sign a contract to retire thing, if he plays another competitive minute, it's a medical miracle.
Was it Kevin Ware? Was that the kid from Louisville that broke his leg in a horrible fashion?
Yep.
And then like maybe 2 years later, he came back and like shot a free throw or something?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. Like he was so bad.
He did come back. Yeah. Oof. He did come back and play college for one more year.
Well, so Paul George had the same injury.
Paul George's injury was,
same injury. Came back from that. But this is not that injury, and this is a procedure no one's ever had before.
Cadaver.
Yes. It is. He got somebody else's meniscus and put it into his knee.
So let me make a couple of predictions on the bingo card for tonight.
Okay.
I think Brandon Johnson pops up tonight. I think Score Audio pops up tonight.
What if the Score Audio they use is us talking about the use of Score Audio?
That would be great.
So we got Emma last week. Will we get Grody?
Now, does just voice count or do we have to see him?
Oh, good question.
What?
A cameo. You got to see him.
Who, Brandon Johnson?
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Grody.
Grody. Like,
yeah, you got to see him.
Or if
it can't be like a Grody tweet, because like last week, like Brendan Shagru's tweet was up there. Emma was voice you heard.
What if it is, you don't see Grody, but it's a Score mic flag and Grody's voice asking questions.
I'm going to count that.
I say that counts. I'm going
to count that.
All right.
So my prediction tonight, I predict.
Say it like you mean it.
I predict.
There you go.
We'll get Score Audio and a cameo from Brandon Johnson and Kevin Warren's routine.
I had enough of that. That's enough.
That second row is going to get popped.
Lose it. Bone.
He's going to get popped tonight.
Yeah, going to get popped. Yeah, just like Sammy Sosa's boombox and all that jive music.
Jive music.
Yeah, he's playing on the jive.
Should break up the boombox.
Ian Happ is going to join us next on the Score.
And then Hard Knocks.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
After the season was over and he finally had some time off, he just didn't shave for a couple days because he wasn't going into the office. And he started growing the beard, and I'm like, yeah, I really like that. And then I got this bright idea that I got to do something with your hair.
Inspiration was from Kelly, so she sent me, what she sent us, three pictures?
Yeah, it was like Ryan Reynolds and like, I forget. It was like, a couple of different people.
I can't believe that was like in late January, early February, and people are still talking about it.
My wife, she liked it, and that's the most important critic for me. If she likes it, then I want to keep it.
He thinks he looks cool now. I think he looks cool too.
Good. It looks really good. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
That's from episode one of Hard Knocks on HBO and Max. And I hope I don't have to tell you what the music was underneath there, right? Please, 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 please be raising your hand and saying, yes, that's Rossini's The Barber of Seville, The Marriage of Figaro.
Yeah.
As they show,
most people would probably say Figaro.
As they show The Barber.
Yeah.
Is it Lawrence Funk?
Sure.
I believe is the name of the barber.
Yes. Yeah.
He is the team barber. The number of people who were amazed or impressed with the idea of a barbershop on premises at the practice facility. And maybe it's just something I knew about that most NFL practice facilities have.
Yeah, like it's important.
I was like, wow, this is a big deal. Like, who knew?
These guys live there.
Yes.
So occasionally you don't have time to go like to your guy.
And
Funk is like one of the best barbers in Chicago.
And
so,
in some markets, like Green Bay, there's nobody there who knows how to
cut black hair.
Right. So they have to bring someone up from Milwaukee, I believe.
I think Funk's place is still, I think he still has his shop on Dearborn, like Dearborn off of Ida B. Wells.
Yeah, I think you're right about that because I've looked it up when who came out with the story. About
Weeder?
No, it wasn't Weeder. It wasn't Weeder.
Schrock?
Caitlin Kaler.
Mm-hmm. Schrock and all?
Yeah, so I looked it up.
Yeah, because I walk past there when I'm teaching. My office is not too far from there. So,
all right, so let's go through on the card what we've checked off already. So I mentioned we're a Super Bowl shuffle away from bingo, because if we get that, we have in the middle row Super Bowl shuffle, then any player signing a contract, check. Free space, check. L Train's in the opening montage, check. Kelly Eberflus cameo, check.
Co-star.
Yeah, it wasn't really a cameo.
Jeez.
It's like Real Housewives of Lake Forest at that point. So we've got that. What else did we have?
Did we count Staley? Because he wasn't really interacting with...
No, we decided not to do that.
Right?
Not to count Staley, because it wasn't a true interaction. It was him. That was my question. I texted you guys as the episode was ongoing, and I asked, like, hey, guys, he's doing the let-me-hear-you, like, sign to the stands.
And there was a guy that looked like Bear
it
Man,
wasn't
but
Bear
it was
Man.
Not Bear Man.
It wasn't, yeah, it wasn't another, Don Wachter, the Hall of Famer.
That's right. It's another bear dude.
We got Eberflus giving out nicknames.
Yes.
And while we got Colin Johnson...
Didn't we kind of get Top Golf too? I can't remember.
No. Pizza?
We got deep dish pizza.
It was in the very beginning.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah.
We got the deep dish pizza, absolutely.
How did we not have Blues Brothers on there?
Yeah, that's on us.
That's such a whiff.
But I mean, it's also like an old reference.
So is Ray Clay. I couldn't believe they trotted out Ray Clay.
No, but at least that matches up with what they were doing with Caleb Williams. Like, that's fine. But, think about it. Blues Brothers is a lot older than Ray Clay.
I bet you Caleb Williams had no idea who Ray Clay was.
Nor should he.
Right. That's my point.
But he's probably like, oh, okay, that sounds cool.
I'm sure. If they even told him. He didn't have to know about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? I mean, they just produced that in there.
We got the Flus given a nickname.
Yeah, we mentioned did that. We don't have McCaskey interacting with fans or on a scooter yet. The Aaron Rodgers, I own you. Score audio, no.
I own you. I freaking own you.
We will get the history of Virginia McCaskey, because I had suggested the famous picture of the toddler Virginia McCaskey with her father. But we'll see. My larger point is, I say we leave it. I say we let it ride at least for one more episode.
All right, let it ride for one more week, and then if we get bingo tonight, then we put a new car together for episode 3. That's fair.
I mean, I just leave Kevin Warren's morning routine on there.
I feel like we're going to see Vince Vaughn too.
So I just want to clear something up as well. I'm looking through the comments from our tweet at Burnsy Holmes from the night of Hard Knocks last week. Somebody has on their card the Bears defensive tradition. Did they really go in depth on the Bears defensive tradition? I did not think so.
I think they did.
No. You got to see
opening sequence.
No, you got to see Butkus and Bill George.
That's what I mean. You, like, how deep does it have to go?
No, it has to be.
It has to be beyond 85.
Yeah, and it's got that. That's not a montage thing. That's got to be the Liev Schreiber intoning. The same defense that produced such greats as Doug Atkins and Dick Butkus and Ed Sprinkle, and like you gotta have all that, which is separate from 85.
So I personally checked off Walter Payton reference with the statue. Is that deep enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right.
Absolutely.
So I think we're in business then with the original card. There's still a lot of spaces to be filled.
I feel like we get the aerial shot of Arlington tonight.
Oh my goodness, it has to be, right?
Well, I know that there's going to be plenty of drone shots of Hallis Hall. So, not that big a deal for them to go out and fly that thing around. You know, you go park off of 53 and send it up in the air, get what you need.
Well, Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles are serving lemonade this morning.
What?
Yeah, and I think coffee, because they had a lot of, like, things you could put in the coffee. Like, they run a little coffee shop up there.
For the media?
No, for, like, fans.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was kind of nice.
That's cute.
I imagine it'll find its way onto Hard Knocks at some point before the series is over. And Texter, she caught the Katie? Yeah. It's a Blues Brothers reference. What we're saying is that we didn't put Blues Brothers on the bingo cart.
Yeah, I thought that would just be too kind of...
on the nose?
Too old and too lame.
That's where your son's going. Too lame.
Too lame. Oh, I'll definitely use that for him. Yeah.
It's pretty good. Of course you will.
This is the last OWC recorded today before he leaves. And then next episode, he will be from NOLA. Oh, by the way, get your questions in for our mailbag today. At Dan_Bernstein.
You got something juicy to bury in there? In the mailbag? Isn't that the thing?
You never know. You always got to follow the mailbags.
Well, and if you've been looking at the headline, guess who is getting close to scrimmaging? Lonzo.
We talked about that in the last episode and whatever.
That's right. Again,
medical miracle if that happens. If that guy plays another minute in the NBA that isn't an honorary ceremonial sign a contract to retire thing, if he plays another competitive minute, it's a medical miracle.
Was it Kevin Ware? Was that the kid from Louisville that broke his leg in a horrible fashion?
Yep.
And then, like, maybe 2 years later, he came back and, like, shot a free throw or something?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's right. Like, he was so bad.
He did come back. Yeah. Oof. He did come back and play college for one more year.
Well, so Paul George had the same injury.
Paul George's injury was,
same injury. Came back from that. But this is not that injury, and this is a procedure no one's ever had before.
Cadaver.
Yes. It is. He got somebody else's meniscus and put it into his knee.
So let me make a couple of predictions on the bingo card for tonight.
Okay.
I think Brandon Johnson pops up tonight. I think Score Audio pops up tonight.
What if the Score Audio they use is us talking about the use of Score Audio?
That would be great.
So we got Emma last week. Will we get Grody?
Now, does just voice count, or do we have to see him?
Oh, good question.
What?
A cameo. You got to see him.
Who, Brandon Johnson?
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Grody.
Grody. Like,
yeah, you got to see him.
Or if
it can't be like a Grody tweet Because like last week, like Brendan Shagru's tweet was up there. Emma's voice you heard.
What if it is, you don't see Grody, but it's a score mic flag and Grody's voice asking questions.
I'm going to count that.
I say that counts.
I'm going to count that.
All right.
So my prediction tonight, I predict.
Say it like you mean it.
I predict.
There you go.
We'll get score audio and a cameo from Brandon Johnson and Kevin Warren's routine.
I had enough of that. That's enough.
That second row is going to get popped.
Lose it. Phone.
It's going to get popped tonight.
Yeah, going to get popped. Yeah, just like Sammy Sosa's boombox and all that jive music.
Jive music.
Yeah, he's playing on that jive.
Should break up the boombox.
Ian Happ is going to join us next on The Score.
And then Hard Knocks.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.